I had three different ice cream places last week in Fayetteville, so I'm like no sugar for the next month.
You want me to tell you the secret?
What's that?
You cut it into fifths. And you take a bite. See, if you cut them into fifths, yeah. even if you eat the whole cookie, that's it's right. not nearly as much.
That's right. The calories go away when you start cutting it into pieces.
So, Jack, I don't think you know me that well yet. I don't do moderation very well.
Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple-making leader.
Welcome to another episode of Disciple-Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Borgman, and we are always excited to have our faithful co-host, Pastor Craig Etherjohn, with
right,
us today.
Right here by your side, man.
There you go. And we are just really trying to, with this podcast, is we just want to equip you as a disciple-making leader to make and multiply disciples like Jesus. And so as we talk about just different topics, some of those things may be for you as a pastor or staff member, or maybe just you're a disciple-making leader out, and like we're going to talk about today, in the marketplace, in the business world. And we want to be an encouragement to you as well. So as we're on today, we have a board member, a special guest. He's actually been on for a previous podcast. So if you haven't heard his kind of his backstory and who he is and how God's wired him, go back and listen to that previous episode with Mr. Jack Springer. How are you today, sir?
Great. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Good to have you here, Jack.
It's approaching lunchtime. We learned it is Peach Fest season at Sweet Lucy's Pies. Maybe, ooh, that she could be our new sponsor. So Topo Chico, Craig doesn't have his Topo Chico today.
That's right. I'm feeling lost because I don't have a cold Topo Chico.
We really needed it. The AC wasn't on when we first came in. So we, you know, Craig didn't pay the bill. So we didn't have a Topo Chico, but maybe, just maybe, we could start putting out for Sweet Lucy's Pies. We can start kind of throwing that out there, tag them.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, we could all share a bite while we're talking.
I don't know. That may be too distracting. We may not get anything done, but we'll get Kaler in his next social media post to tag them and just plead with them to send us a pie.
Hey, that would
Greg's
be great.
Headed there for lunch.
That's right. I'm going to be down there. Yeah. You've already told me that I got to rush down there because the peach season's almost over.
Yeah, we're getting hungry here. So, but really what we're going to talk about today is, I mean, this is really a close topic to my heart. This is where God really, I would say for the first time where I saw my life bigger than myself, was in business. My personal story was really, I'd kind of done business the normal way for a period of time. And really, hey, it's all about success. It's about money. It's about climbing the ladder, you know, come out of college, new family, that kind of deal. And God really stopped me in my tracks. And it was really a turning point in my life. But beyond that, he started putting people in my life to show me and encourage me that I was walking into one of the largest mission fields in the world every day.
Yeah,
and just that vision, somebody casting that vision, and then Craig and his team here, you know, and Glenn and team of pastors here really equipping us to be able to do that. So I had, you know, was given this new vision to engage the marketplace, but also equipped to do that here at Cross Creek. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So you as a business leader in the marketplace, wherever you are, you have a great opportunity every day you step out. It's not just a job. It's not just a thing you go do for a paycheck. It is a great opportunity for kingdom impact. And if you're listening and you're a staff member or a leader, you have a great opportunity and a wealth of missionaries just sitting at your church ready to be equipped and sent.
Yeah.
And so that's really what we want to encourage you all today. You know, Craig, I know you're in your life. You really almost see it as a debt to pay back to business leaders.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there were businessmen that discipled me. I didn't have a pastor that showed me how to be a disciple-making leader. I didn't learn that in seminary. I learned that from businessmen in our church that discipled me and trained me up and invested in me and showed me how to be a disciple-making leader. And so I love businessmen because, like, you're right, I feel like it's a debt I pay back. And I love these episodes that we're doing because we're actually highlighting a leader, whether they're in the church or in the marketplace, that are living out these same principles. And honestly, we almost like to bifurcate ministry and business as if they are two completely separate worlds, when in actuality, there's so much that is the same of how we approach ministry, how we approach the work God's called us to do, how we exalt Jesus in it. There's so many principles that cross over. And so when we do these kind of episodes, we really get to peel that onion a little bit and learn about that. So if you are a pastor, we hope that you're going to be really encouraged today on how to engage with business leaders in your church. And if you're a business leader, how you can make the most of your opportunity to share Jesus where you are, to make disciples, and then to lock arms with your pastor and your local church to advance the kingdom.
Yeah, and again, go back and listen to the episode where we interviewed Jack Springer as well, because you went into a couple of different stories of just how that God provided through your position, through your business, through the, you know, just your normal everyday life to really shepherd people. And, you know, we're really what we want to kind of, the framework we're going to follow today is just what are three areas where really you see that ministry happening a lot. So we just want to highlight those, talk around those, maybe unpack how you can press in or be equipped in those areas more. But we just want to do this from our own experience and what God has seen, and hopefully that's encouraged to you as we get into this today. So, Jack, you ready?
I'm ready.
Craig?
Let's go.
All right. So let's just dive into it. Again, I said this statement sticks with me and has stuck with me for years, and it was really motivating for me as God was working in my life and started opening my eyes to the fact that He could use me in the workplace, and that was, and I've already said it, was that you are stepping into one of the largest mission fields in the world every day as a business leader. Yeah. I went into full-time ministry in 2014, it has been extremely hard and required a lot more intentionality to do real life ministry with people in my everyday life than it was in business. It was like putting a ball on a tee. There was ministry opportunities all around me. As soon as I started to see and have that mindset and step into that, it was all around. And I just think that we just have to start with that mindset, calling ourselves to that, pastors calling your people to that, and then start equipping them to be able to fulfill that opportunity that they've been given. And so really, in my experience, and I think, you know, as we'll share with you guys as well, I think really there's three major opportunities where people are that we really can press into, and where I've just seen where, you know, really examples of being able to shepherd people. And, you know, in just three different areas where they are through their life and in kind of their spiritual journey. And so number one, I think, is engaging the lost is a great opportunity as a business. There's lost people all around when you're going to work, whether that's customers, whether that's employees, whether that's coworkers, there's a lost world out there. And so I think in business, it's just, again, it's this opportunity, it's this platform where they're right around you. You don't have to go looking for them. You don't have to work for them. They're all around you. The second area I want to dig into is shepherding the hurting. You know, Jack did a great job of somebody that was really hurting, had a crisis moment in his life, and then was shepherding him. And we'll maybe talk a little bit more about that. But I think people's lives are chaos. If you really get into it, if you do life with people in the church, outside of church, life's hard. And people's lives, a lot of times, are falling apart behind the scenes. You don't even know it. And business and the relationships you form there really give us opportunities to shepherd the hurting. And then the third opportunity and third area that I've really seen God be able to use is equipping disciple makers. So maybe it's believers in your workplace that are ready to grow, and you can really impact their life and train them to either grow in their faith or own it to a point where they're able to invest their life in someone else. And that's just, again, I know there may be other things, but I was trying to really just encapsulate these three main areas, and then we just kind of talk around those and see what that looks like in real life, okay?
Okay.
All right, so let's get right into it about engaging the lost. You know, again, customers, clients, employees, your peers, I really see the consistency of a job. You got to show up every day, right? For most jobs, you got to show up every day to get paid. But that's an opportunity for consistency in relationships. And in that, one of the greatest opportunities I had was living my life with integrity. Like, I was trying to bring God into the workplace. People knew, hey, where are you at this morning? Well, I was at a Bible study. I'm living outwardly that they know I'm a Christian as their boss. They knew I was a Christian. They knew that, you know, it was more than just a place I went on Sundays. It was a part of my everyday life. And so that help set the tone, and I could throw things out there to maybe start spiritual conversations and really be able to just have these opportunities every day. That consistency, I think, was really key to truly engaging the lost versus these one-shot evangelism type approaches, but being able to really build relationships with the purpose of sharing the gospel. You guys relate to that, Craig or Jack?
Yeah, I can. I was going to talk about a little bit of a precursor that fits right into that. You know, I think from a standpoint of a business leader or a pastor or anybody really that's trying to share the love of Christ, there are some important factors that need to exist. You know, first of all, I think as personalities, as business leaders, as pastors, we're get it done people. And most of the time we're thinking about, I have to make this happen. And one of the things I think that we have to learn in all three of these scenarios is that it's not us making it happen. These are providential appointments that God puts in place and in front of us. And so wait on him and let him do it. I don't have to make anything happen. You know, the second thing that I think is really important is to have a care for people. You know, if I'm a business leader and I care for people, then I'm going to be sensitive to what's going on in their lives and in other people's lives. If I don't have that care for people, I need to be asking God to give me a care for people so that I can reach out and touch others that need him. And then the last thing I think that's important is to be genuine and authentic. People smell inauthenticity.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know it. You know, you can have, and the same goes for care for people. When you're talking to somebody and they're constantly looking at their watch or they're looking away or they're following everything under the sun except you, what does that tell you? Yeah. What you're saying is not really that important. So we have to care for the people, but we also have to be authentic in how we deal with them.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Jack, as you were sharing that, you know, yes, the marketplace is the greatest mission field. I love that visual, and it is so true. You're entering into your mission field. You've got work to do. You have to make hard decisions, leadership decisions. You're dealing with people, and if you're managing people, you're dealing with all their problems and their, you know, all the complexities of that. And at the same time, trying to look at them through the lens of where are they spiritually and what are their needs, sharing the gospel. And then on top of that, you have some complexity of just, you're hanging around a bunch of lost people. And sometimes, you know, it can easily be tempted to fall into conversations you shouldn't have or go to places you shouldn't go, or why don't you come and hang out with us here or there? Jack, you ever have to navigate that too?
Absolutely.
So what does that look like for the leader? You're trying to be a godly influence. You're in a leadership position, but there's because they are lost, they're acting like lost people. And so, you know, you're trying to navigate, do I go to the bar with these guys after this meeting? Do you know, there are things that they may do that you don't feel comfortable with. How do you handle that?
So that's a very, very good question, especially in business. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I had to learn early on is you have to set your requirements for yourself up front. Because if you're surprised with, hey, let's go here or let's do that, then you're going to have to think, you're going to have to be on your feet, you're going to have to very quickly decide whether you're going to do it. So have those parameters in place. A perfect example is I just made it a rule that I would never go to a bar with a dealer or with a customer or anything like that, and I would never be out with them past 9 o'clock. I used to tell my boys that nothing good happens after midnight. For business people, nothing good happens after 9
p.m. You moved it up to 9, huh?
Yeah, I did. I did. So you set those rules and requirements up front, I think, is one thing you have.
Setting them with yourself.
With yourself, yes.
Not necessarily that you're sending that as a company-wide email.
No. You just don't want to be put on that spot of having to make that decision right then and there.
Right, okay.
And so you know what you're going to do before you ever get there.
Right.
And so I think that is very, very important. But you face that all of the time in one way or the other. I think the other, and I talked about the authenticity earlier, people are watching not for how you act when things are going great. They're watching you when things go bad, when you lose that contract, you lose that customer, something bad happens inside of the plant. They are really watching you then because they want to know, oh, is he really going to be a Christian, or are we going to hear some words? Are we going to watch some reaction that is not Christian?
Yeah. You know, let me press in a little bit more on this, Jack, because I'm trying to anticipate what maybe some of our listeners may be asking. Let's say you're not the CEO. Let's say you're maybe not even the C-suite. You're somewhere in middle management, and there's pressure for you to go to certain things. You have to go to these parties in order to make these sales. I know sales guys deal with this all the time. Mm-hmm. You have to go out with these guys to do this. They like to go to these places. And you're now like, you know, I feel like if in order for me to advance in my career, I may have to do this. But as a follower of Christ and that, I can't say I'm going to the bar for a witnessing opportunity. You know, you know, how do they navigate that?
Well, I mean, hopefully they're in a company that will support them, right? But if they're not, if they have to make those decisions, you know, it can be as bad as you have to make a choice mm-hmm. in your job. Are you going to subject yourself to this and go with it, or are you not? But I think I would say 90% of the time there's a middle ground, and you may have to entertain, but you get to choose the entertainment. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you're choosing. And if you do find yourself in a situation, you know, people knew I didn't drink. Yeah. And I would constantly get the question, well, you don't even drink a glass of wine? No, I don't drink. What would it do? It set the parameter, because I'd already made that decision up front, but it would also lead into other conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, is this because you go to church or something? I said, Mom, I'm a Christian. And it just leads into a conversation that perhaps you can witness in.
Yeah, yeah. Ben, how have you navigated that?
Well, I think it has to start with integrity. I mean, everything goes back to integrity. How can you, if you don't have integrity, if they don't really see consistency in your life, then how do you build from that? How do they really trust you when hard things, or how can you speak into things that are not, you know, that maybe that are coming out in their life that really aren't displaying integrity? And so, same thing. I think you'd have to have those controls. You have to, and again, it's going to be dependent on what level of, like you said, kind of where you are, how much control you have. Mm-hmm. Again, I think you're just kind of trust God with that. And if this is conviction of yours, then you need to live that out and be able to live that out. And hopefully your boss understands. But if you're the manager, if you're the boss, if you're the, you know, if you're over people, then, and you're a believer, then people are watching. People are almost not building a case, maybe in a negative way, but in their mind, they're storing this authenticity, this integrity in there. So you may be undercutting yourself for future conversations if they see that that's not in alignment.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other thing that we as Christians need to remember is we can be Christ-like in almost any environment. Just because we are having to entertain, or we're somewhere, you know, maybe our boss mm-hmm. drug us and made us go to entertain customers, there's still a way that we live our life, and we can be Christ-like even in that scenario, and it may drive conversations.
Yeah, and I think you have to have wisdom at times to know when to find ways out. You know, I've had guys say, I was at a restaurant and then things were starting to get weird and I felt uncomfortable. And he said, I just picked up my phone and acted like I was talking on it, said, hey, I got to go take this message, stepped out and went up to his room. And that was just kind of his way out in the moment. You know, others have just said, hey, I'm always going to be, you know, in my room after such and such. I don't do that, you know, that kind of thing. But I think those are some of the challenges, right, that you face when you're in the marketplace, you're trying to walk with God and trying to our point, we're talking about sharing the gospel, you have to navigate some of those waters. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I loved hearing from you guys' experience of what that looks like.
Yeah, you have to have that. If you don't start with that, they're going to put those pieces together. And then so the tactics don't matter after that. And for me, though, once you have that, hey, I'm putting this out there, I have controls, I have integrity, then what does it look like on a day-to-day basis? How do I live intentionally? And, you know, we talk a lot about this and train people with the Grow Series with Reach Your World. That whole book is about living on mission. So from a business leader's perspective, I mean, it's super impactful, relatable. Like, you can take the concepts in that and go the next day and move conversations. And I see, so I worked for a company called Fastenal. I was a store manager, but I was still key clients I would go visit every day. And so they were large enough customers, and so I needed to be in their facilities. So the way that a manufacturing plant is worked out is you have different areas and different zones, and the same shift, you have the same worker in that zone every single day. And so once I started with this mentality, and I'm anticipating conversation, I mean, I'm going to have conversations today. How they move, where they go, that's up to the Lord. That's right. Up to the Holy Spirit's working. There was this one guy that I remember, as I was trying to exercise this a little bit, he was a Buddhist welder And he was always in the same thing. He was always very talkative. So I would always press in. We're talking about things. And we get in talking about, like, so he was from Laos. And there was a group of them that had moved here. And they were all, a lot of them worked at the plant. And so he goes to a Buddhist temple right over in Keller, kind of near, 15 miles from, 10, 15 miles here from the church. And so I just started talking about that and asking him about, did he ever cross the line of faith or, come to Jesus? No. But we had a lot of conversations throughout the years about how is the difference between following Jesus and following Buddha? What does that look like? And it just, but it all started with just casual conversations, talking about what he was working on there at the deal, what he ate for lunch. I was like, man, that really looked good. I love food and I love Asian food. And so they're all sitting around eating, the stuff that their wives had made and people that they brought from home. And I mean, it looked awesome. So it just there was just all these little openings, but I just think with business, there's that consistency. There's an opportunity every single day, but am I looking for it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's really good. Even though I'm a pastor, so I'm not in the marketplace. I've been on the boards in secular marketplace environments and got to be a part of meetings and interaction with people. And I found that to be just a gold mine of opportunities to have spiritual. And of course I got the scarlet P on me. I got the pastor, label on me. So they didn't know that. In fact, one guy, he was a upper level leader and, he went to the Catholic Church and I said, you got a priest? He goes, yeah. And I said, that's good. It's good to have a priest, but you need a pastor. You need a preacher is what I said. You need a preacher and I'm going to be your preacher. And he goes, okay. All right. Well, come to find out over the course of time, he was really able to open up and share all kinds of things that he's dealing with. And we had great spiritual conversations because I was just trying to take advantage of those opportunities. So you got those every single day in the marketplace if you're just intentional about it.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So engaging the lost. So really the opportunities that are given, you just have to have the mindset. I think you don't have to look very far to find the lost in the marketplace, in most marketplace opportunities. Second area we really want to focus in on as far as this idea of engaging the marketplace is shepherding the herding. Again, herding people are all around us. A lot of times we don't even have to go outside of our own house for that. I have teenage kids. There's always drama going around. There's always, my daughter, her and her boyfriend broke up this summer. So now the drama as they go back into school, so-and-so said this and so-and-so, so there's always people to care for. But I think especially in the marketplace, again, you're building relationships over time. And go back to the whole idea of integrity. They know who you are. They get to know who you are. That can be good or bad. We hope good that they know who you are. That so when everything falls apart, they come to you. And so I had this guy that worked for me. He was a salesman, and he was an atheist, staunch atheist. I mean, very antagonistic. Him and his wife both just. Don't talk to me about that. He knew what I was doing. I got Wednesday morning Bible study. I'm leading discipling groups after work, all these things going on. He knew where I stood on those things and didn't want anything to do with them. And so at one point in time, about a year into his employment, his wife got cancer. And when all that was falling apart, it was opportunity for me to be able to go serve them and, bring them things to the hospital and stuff like that. But what I found very interesting was that when stuff started falling apart, he would be in my office when I got there wanting to talk. Now, if it was me initiating, hey, let's have this spiritual conference, nope, don't want anything to do with it. But when he was hurting, things weren't fitting together, things were, kid was going AWOL, he would be sitting in my office ready to talk. And those opportunities, I hope God used to soften his heart. To this day, I think he is still probably an atheist, so I guess I'm not that great of an evangelist. I don't know. But anyway, I met him in the moment. But I just found it interesting that opening that was created, even in the hardest heart, people know, if you're putting it out there, they know where to get truth. Mm-hmm. They know where to come for stability because they see your life not falling apart. They see, even in hard times, it not falling apart. They see that, and then they're attracted to it when theirs is.
Ben, one of the things that we say in the Grow series is that people come to a crisis before they come to Christ, mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10. And when you look at the life of Jesus, most of the encounters that Jesus has with people, individuals, they're in crisis. Yeah. They're in some type of crisis. So I think number two, the dealing, shepherding people in crisis and sharing the gospel, the first point, really blend together very well. And in the marketplace, that is your open door. When somebody's going through a divorce, when somebody's kids, you know, struggling, when somebody has cancer, these are the opportunities that people are very open to you, very sensitive to you, but that window of opportunity is open.
Yeah.
And it closes too. You know, there are periods of time when it's open and closed. So as a marketplace leader, you have to be aware that, hey, this person's come to me, and we're not talking about business, we're talking about life. And then this is an opportunity to just show a lot of compassion, a lot of care. And then it allows, people are open for you to pray for them. People are open for you to encourage them. And Jack, Zach, you've, Jack, yeah, I said Zach, I think. Jack, you've had multiple opportunities, right?
Right.
For people that are in crisis for you to have spiritual conversation.
Yeah, a perfect example is one of our dealer customers. This was years ago. His son was in the business with him, and he went to their lake home one weekend and he committed suicide.
Oh.
And, you know, I heard about that probably 2-3 days later, and I called him. And it's that open – that's one thing that we can do. We can just reach out. To your point, there is a season. There is a time frame, and then it may go away. But to pray with them, to talk to them, talk about where they're going when they pass away. But, you know, when people are hurting, that's – one of you said this. That's the absolute opportune time. Back when I was a teenager – and I don't know if y'all ever did this, we would do something called go take a church census. And what that was code for was knock on people's doors and say, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And then try to witness to them. And it was like one out of 150 that you might even have a conversation with. But when people are hurting, they're looking for that conversation.
Yeah.
They're looking for that relief. As people in business, marketplace leaders, I think a lot of us struggle with, well, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to them. I don't know how to communicate. I don't know how to witness. The thing I can promise you, and it's amazing, is God will give you the words to say if you have the heart and the willingness to do it. There are times that I have a conversation with somebody, and after I'm finished with the conversation, I say, where did that come from? God gave it to me. Christ spoke it to me. And he, if he's leading you into that conversation, he's not going to walk away. He's going to help you with that conversation.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, one of the things that you just mentioned it then, and you mentioned it, I think, in the other podcast, is that when you heard of an employee that had a crisis, that you reached out to them.
Yes.
And you didn't wait for them to come to you. They probably weren't going to come to you.
That's right.
In the position you were in. But for you to reach out to them, man, that had to have meant so much to them that the CEO of our company cares about me, heard something about me and cared about me. And that's something that any leader can do, right? No matter what organization you're in, to reach out, even just to say, I'm so sorry, I heard about what happened, and man, I'm just heartbroken for you. I want you to know I'm praying for you. What can I do to help? That you don't really have to have all the answers.
You don't. And a lot of times you may have that initial conversation and show that concern and care, and it could be a week or two, but they may come back to you. Mm-hmm. And you have the conversation that they needed or that Christ wants you to have at that point.
Yeah.
And if you're just as a listener out there, if you are a leader over, it doesn't matter how many people, your influence carries weight.
Absolutely.
And again, that can be positive or it can be negative. You know, we really want to encourage you, leverage your influence for kingdom impact. Mm-hmm. So know that. And I see it as, again, we've talked a lot about opportunity, just seeing the opportunity, having the right mindset. And I think this is a big one, is that your position, if you're an overseer, if you're a boss of any kind, has a lot of weight just by your position. So your influence weighs heavier than maybe a person's peer. You as a boss, especially, and the higher up you go, the heavier that influence can be. And again, take that for what it is. I would take it as motivation to really live with integrity and influence and leverage that influence for kingdom impact and to really have a positive impact to move them forward. And so whether that's engaging loss or shepherding hurting, I think that's something you just have to remember. The third way we really want to talk about just opportunities that you can really engage your marketplace is equipping disciple makers. And I mean that by somebody that's a believer, they're wanting to grow their they're really wanting to be poured in, shaped, molded along different areas of spiritual maturity. That's what I'm talking about. How do you use the marketplace to do that? That may be weird for some people, like, well, I can't lead Bible studies in my workplace, or I can't, you know, really have that conversations. But I think there's a lot of space for that. There's a lot of different ways to do that and flesh it out in business. I've found it very helpful just to be an example. Number one, start with being an example of what it looks like to lead business well. You know, I am so thankful to God for a couple of business guys in my life that we were all starting to grow in our faith at the same time, and just them being friends with them, being close to them, them sharing how they were fleshing this out in their job and in their marketplace ministry or in their home and their family, seeing that model in front of me was very motivating for me to step into that as well. It doesn't have to be a formal Bible study or something like that that you're doing, but even just being that example and intentionally developing relationships for those people behind you or maybe peers beside you, I think is a great opportunity.
What I found for me, and I've done this for many, many years, is I would talk to various people that reported to me, but I would select a person. I would do one at a time, but I would select a person that was in the company that was up and coming, that wanted to improve, that wanted to get a certain place, and I would mentor them. And I would tell them, I have no idea how long this will last. It may last 6 months. It may last, you know, 3 years. I just really don't know. But it was always offsite. We would go offsite normally to lunch, and for an hour to an hour and a half, I would mentor them. A lot of it was around business, but a lot of it was around personal too, because a big part of the success is your personal life, your marriage, your family, your relationship with God. And so that mentoring for me was an opportunity to one at a time take, you know, somebody 20 to 35 years old and help them to become more well-rounded, certainly, but also talk to them about other things other than business.
Yeah, I love that as a strategy because, you know, in the business world, I would assume that there's some people, if you go up and say, hey, I want to disciple you, you know, that's going to be like, what is that? That's weird. But if you say, hey, I want to mentor you in business, every young leader is looking for that.
That's right.
And so it gives you an entrance into talking about business, helping them be better, but also talking about their family life, their spiritual life, their personal life. I mean, wow, what a tremendous opportunity that is. And you're investing in this person.
That's exactly right.
And that's really what a disciple-making leader does. He leads out of the overflow of his own walk with God and intentionally invests in others to ignite the movement. So I think that, man, that's a great takeaway as a business leader. If you're sitting there, think, who could I mentor? Who are some emerging leaders around me that would be really open to that? And this gives me a chance to not only talk about business, but about their spiritual walk with God.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And that works in any setting. You know, there may be places, again, for, you know, you to do a formal Bible study or, you know, again, I've done grow groups after work before work in my office. And not all places are conducive to that. It may not be, but as far as, hey, I'm going to invest in you as a leader, and then you bring in those other, again, not like a bait and switch, but you're also providing them, you know, lessons on integrity and walking with God and how important having those convictions are, I think it's a great way that fits a lot of maybe harder places. Yep. That could limit other things.
And you don't have to be a bait and switch. You can say up front, you know, hey, we're going to talk about business stuff. We're going to talk about personal stuff because you are a whole person. You know, we can't just talk to a quarter of you. You know, you're a whole person. So if through this mentoring process, we're going to talk about all kinds of things.
That's exactly right.
And help you become a successful human being, a successful person, a holistic person.
Yeah. Well, there was one person that I mentored. He was in sales. And, you know, we started the mentoring process, and probably the second or third time that we met, he said, you know, I'm really having some problems at home. I said, well, why are you having problems at home? What's going on? And what would happen is when his customers called, it didn't matter what time it was. He'd pick up the phone and he would take the call. He could be at dinner. He'd take the call. He could be reading to his children. He'd take the call. And his wife was getting really, really upset. And so I told him, I said, here's what you need to do. You need to have a window of time. If you get home at 5:30, 6 o'clock, make it till 8 o'clock. You're not going to take any calls. And then, you know, once you get the kids to bed and you've spent some time with the family, then you can return those calls if you choose to. or you can wait till the next day, and you're going to have my support. I'm going to support you on that. And that led into kind of his whole family dynamic and so forth. Are they going to church? They weren't at the time. They got back into church after a while. And so something as innocuous as a cell phone impinging on family time can lead to something else.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, we have a principal. Hopefully we're going to have him on our podcast. And he would disciple some coaches and some teachers in his office before school started, early in the morning. We would meet there, but he was intentionally, still does, intentionally disciple people. And so you kind of have to figure out what that looks like in your set. So you may have a lot of latitude. You may not have a lot of latitude, but there are ways you can invest in other people, not just professionally, but also personally and spiritually.
Yeah, and I just really think, you know, with, you know, a lot of our listeners probably use the Grow series that we publish and produce. So even for that, don't shy away. You know, for me, the way I was trained is I'm always fishing. I'm fishing as I'm building relationships. I'm seeing where people are, assessing them spiritually. What do they need? Do I have a tool to meet that need? And there may be people, like for me, it was where I worked was not close to the church. So sometimes my employees may be even further away. So me, as I was creating and developing disciple grow groups or disciple making groups here with people from the church, that didn't always fit with my people at work. So I just got to where I didn't let that bother me. I just was like, okay, well, I'm still fishing there. And if someone pops up that I can invite into a grow group, because again, I had the ability to do that. I had control of my store and I could open the store and, you know, my bosses were fine with that. So I would just host them there at work. We'd get there early, you know, invite them, hey, do you mind getting to work a little early? Do you mind staying a little late? And I would do disciple making groups, grow groups right there in my office. And so for you as a listener, I think a lot of this all goes back to mindset. Do you really have this intentional mindset to shepherd people and to really meet them where they are and give them what they need? And again, I'm equipped to do that. So you as a leader, you need to equip your people to be comfortable to navigate those things and have a tool to engage people wherever they are spiritually and be flexible, right? The best disciple makers I know are the most flexible.
And if that mindset is there, the willingness is there, the flexibility is there, you're going to be led into situations that you haven't even thought about. I know years ago when I was in consulting, leading the consulting, we had a project and there were five people on it. Somehow, we fell each night at dinner, we would pick a topic and talk about the topic. It could be politics, it could be whatever it may be. Well, one night, the topic that wound up being picked was religion and denominations, which I thought, well, that's kind of an odd topic for dinner, but okay. But God was behind it. One of the gentlemen that was there, he was Catholic, nothing against Catholics, but one of the things that came out is he believed in mortal sin. And so he made the comment about mortal sin. I asked him, what are the mortal sins? So we went through what the mortal sins are. And he said, do you believe in mortal sin? I said, no, I don't. I believe that once you accept Christ, that all of your sin is forgiven. And he said, well, I just don't think it can be that way. So let me ask you a question. I said, David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he killed her husband. Is that a mortal sin? Yeah, that's a mortal sin. I said, then his baby that Bathsheba bore him died. He goes, yeah, okay, I think I remember that. I said, David made a comment that he would see that baby again. And he looked at me for a second. I said, so how is he going to see that baby again? If you believe that the baby went to heaven, how is he going to see that baby again? He goes, well, I don't know. He wound up going back to his hotel, pulling out his Gideon Bible, reading his Bible half the night about what's going on. And then after that, we probably had 5 or 6 weeks where we would have conversations about Christ and about religion and about what he believes and the right or wrong of it all. I could have never guessed that was going to happen.
Yeah. Wow. That's so good. But just stepping into it, having these great discussions, you weren't angry about it. You weren't defensive about it. Just inquiring him and engaging him. That's so good. And, you know, Ben, when you look at these three things that we have here, you know, reaching the lost, we talk about, you know, caring for the compassion those who are hurting, and then making disciples. This is an opportunity for every business leader. I mean, you're walking into so many opportunities.
Yeah,
so many, and so you may say, "Well, I'm not really engaged in any of that." Well, it really comes back to mindset, right? Mm-hmm. Do I have a mindset that's I'm walking with Jesus, and out of the overflow of my walk with God, I'm looking at who is God bringing across my path? Where are the opportunities here to share the gospel, to show compassion, and then to intentionally mentor and invest in others that moves them toward walking with God in a deeper way?
Yeah.
Those are you got more opportunities than pastors do most of the time, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. You got that mission field every day.
It truly is. I mean, because I made the switch from every day seeing my workplace as that mission field to then going into full-time ministry and working with churches and church leaders. But I still am convicted that I need to be ministering to the world around me. It just takes exponentially more intentionality now than it did. You just stumble on it and you find people to minister towards in business. And again, I'm thankful for that time. And you know, but what I really want to kind of leave everybody with on this is, number one, you as a business leader, you have an amazing opportunity for kingdom impact. Don't sell yourself short. There are people looking at you. There are people around you that God wants to use you and your influence to impact them for eternity. That should motivate you. If you're on this call and you're a disciple-making leader, like, that should get you excited.
Right.
You as a leader, as a staff member, as a pastor, and you have a church full of marketplace people, marketplace missionaries, if you would, you have a extremely valuable opportunity for kingdom impact by investing your life and training them and equipping them to engage that marketplace.
I want to just underscore that very point. The role of pastors in these men's lives and these women's lives is to equip them for that work and to cast a vision for it. You know, cast the vision so that everybody needs to be reminded of why they are where they are. And then to say, I'm going to show you how to have spiritual conversations. I'm going to show you how to invest in others. I'm going to show you how to show compassion so that you can do it right where you are. Yeah. Man, that adds tremendous value. And what business leader doesn't want to be a part of a church that's getting equipped on the weekend to go right back into the mission field on Monday?
That's right.
And Jack, maybe you speak to this and we'll close with this. Most hard driver, successful people I know are not scared of a challenge. They actually want challenge. They actually get bored if you keep the status quo. And I think the same is in church. If you're a status quo church, which is just about come, sit, give, attend, I think most hard driver, the people that probably can make the most kingdom impact outside of your church, are probably bored. Mm-hmm. I don't think you as a type A CEO type leader would back away from a pastor challenging you to make kingdom impact every day in your business.
No, I would absolutely agree. And for the pastors, you know, Craig talks about it in what he does, but if as a pastor, you don't have a group of businessmen that you are equipping, let's use that word, to go out into the workplace, you know, from my view as a business person, you're probably not doing all you should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, if you're a listener at Disciple First, I mean, we really do want to be a resource and encouragement to you. So as you're listening to this and I really don't know what that looks like, or I need help in that, we're here to help you do that. We have coaching, we have tools, we have resources that can help you do that. We can hop on a call. We're always available for any one-off phone calls. We want to be here to serve you and to resource you. So you just got to let us know how we can help. So we always have ways that you can connect with us in the show notes of if you're listening to this podcast, you can just look down there and see that, or you can always reach us at disciplefirst.com. And again, Jack, Craig, I'm number one, thank you for your influence to create an environment here at the church that's equipping, at one point in time when I was a marketplace leader, to equip me to do that and give me handles for that. So I thank you for doing that hard work.
Yes.
Jack, I thank you for leading an impact, kingdom impact driven life and leading business well. And thank you for being on this call today.
Thank you.
Yeah. So again, thank you for listening. We hope you join us next time.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple-making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.